ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, it is indeed the most happening place on the planet. These are times when you miss the Prashanthi that was all the time overflowing with so many pining hearts. So many beautiful souls coming to soak in the presence, soak in the power and the peace of this place. And now with restricted access to the mandir, a lot of people long to be here. Prashanthi is not that overflowing with people like it used to be. But all the same, if you think about it, after Bhagwan left his physical sojourn, it's almost 10 years now, and perhaps Bhagwan was preparing us for this. He gave us ample time to feel Him. We were so attached to the form. And when Bhagwan decided to withdraw it, we had to rely on our memories. We had to rely on those beautiful moments that He had bestowed on us. We had to work on recreating those in our lives and reconcile with not being able to see Him like before. And even as we made that sadhana to see Him within, to feel Him more within, even as we slowly got over that sorrow of not being able to see the physical form and being able to connect with Him, being able to enjoy being with Him, being able to see Him by closing our eyes. Now comes a time when Swami is saying, yes, that name, that form went. Now the chance to come to Parthi also is becoming difficult with the changing times, with the difficult times. And now it's almost like Swami is saying, I have given you 10 years. Haven't you prepared yourself to recreate Prashanthi in your lives? Haven't you prepared yourself to feel the power of Prashanthi wherever you are? Don't cry. Don't say that I will go to Prashanthi, only then I will charge my batteries. Yes, when the opportunity is there, you will definitely go. And Prashanthi is all the time willing, all the time waiting. But if that does not happen for any unforeseen circumstance, that should not destabilize you. You should be strong now. Wherever you are, you should be able to feel Prashanti. Wherever you are, you should be able to see me within. Perhaps this is what Bhagwan is trying to exhort all of us into. And once you begin to feel Him, no matter where you are, no matter once you feel the presence of Prashanti, whether you are in your hometown, whether you are in your vacation spot, or whether you are inside the ashram in Prashanti Nilayam, then Bhagwan will ensure whenever you want to come to Prashanti Nilayam, you get the chance, because now you have made that learning. When the lessons are being given, the tests are being put, one has to go through that rigmarole. Once you pass the test, after that, it's like someone who wants to write for IAS. He has to do a lot of struggle to pass the IAS exam and to enter once into that building, which is full of IAS officers, for you to attend the interview. Once you clear that interview, after that, and you pass the exam, anytime you can walk into that building, because you are now an IAS officer. So it's something like that. Perhaps, well, I have no idea. These are just some musings, some thoughts, because everything has a reason. Whatever is happening in the world, whatever is happening around us, whatever is happening to us, whatever is happening to Prashanti Nilayam, everything is definitely for a very, very meaningful cause, and it's for us to reflect what is the lesson for us, what is it that Bhagwan wants us to learn from this, and maybe Bhagwan wants us to internalize not just His name and form, but also internalize the power of His presence in Prashanti. Maybe once that lesson is learned, after that, Prashanti would clear all the obstacles and take us into her lap. Once you pass the test, after that, it is celebration. So, dear brothers and sisters, Prashanti is what it is because of so many people who have passed these tests. Prashanti is what it is because so many people who are going through these tests and going through it with a lot of tenacity, with a lot of determination. Prashanti is that invisible refiner of souls. Whoever comes to its presence has to get purified. Whoever comes into her ambience has to be sanctified. And it is these souls who in turn increase the power of Prashanti. It is their faith, their sacrifice, their selflessness, their commitment, their dedication, their love for Bhagwan, which keep the power of Prashanti on a higher trajectory all the time. Last few weeks, I've been sharing with you the story of Kantamma Garu in this series, Beacons of Prashanti. It's been our endeavor to share with you tales of such people, such souls, such spirited servitors of Bhagwan, who gave their everything to Him, who passed their tests, so to speak, perhaps. And that's why they were so blessed, and they continue to experience the immensity of His presence, His grace, His love. Kantamma Garu is 86 years old now. For more than 40-45 years, she looked after the South Indian canteen, the women's section. I told you how she was born to parents who had great love for God and great dedication to the nation. Her father was a freedom fighter, husband was a freedom fighter, and both of them lost their lives serving the country. She was brought up by her uncle. An uncle was very devoted to Sri Panduranga. In Andhra Pradesh, in a place called Chilakalapudi, you have a Swayambhu shrine of Sri Panduranga. It is considered as the second most powerful shrine of Sri Panduranga after the one in Pandharpur in Maharashtra. And as a little one, she developed so much attachment to this Panduranga that she would go there, and she used to take so many vows. She was initiated into that tradition by a guru there, and she would fast on Ekadashis. She would do a certain amount of japam every day. There were many stipulations to be a part of that tradition, and she would lead that kind of a very religious life. But at the same time, the family wanted her to commit herself to society. And at a very young age, she became sarpanch of the village. Unheard of in the 60s, a girl becoming head of a local government body in India is a rarity. But she was the head of the village and later on part of the Jilla Parishad when she was just 18, 19 years old. When in India at that time, women were hardly getting education. It was just probably 10 years, 10, 15 years after India attained independence. There were a lot of things to be done to raise the standard of living of the people of this country after years of colonization. And here, Kantamma Garu was the head of the village at that age. And even as she continued her worship of Panduranga, she also committed herself completely to the service of her brethren in the village, in that locality, in that community. And I have shared with you so many stories of how she got a school built there, how she did a lot of work for the development of that village, of that district, how she raised the standard of education and health. Thanks to the chief ministers of that era who knew her father as a freedom fighter, who was their contemporary, and they facilitated her in her noble initiatives. And even as all that was going on, I told you how she was drawn to Bhagwan in 1961, and she had her first darshan on a holy Shivratri, and that moment did not happen just like that. After 3-4 years of so many signs from Bhagwan, when she finally saw Swami, her heart was bowled over. And then when Bhagwan called her inside for interview, she knew that she was speaking to someone who knows her life like an open book. And Bhagwan told her, "I will take care of everything. I will take care of everything." And that is how her life has been since then. And I told you how after that, her God, her mission, her purpose, her goal, everything became Bhagwan. And Swami rewarded her so beautifully by taking her on so many trips when he visited so many towns and villages of Andhra Pradesh, be it in the year 1963 or 1964, she had the opportunity to go with Swami to see Rama, Sri Ramachandra in Bhadrachalam, the sacred shrine of Bhadrachalam. She had the opportunity to see the sacred shrine of Lord Shiva in Sri Shailam, again with Bhagwan. And then this was her prayer constantly, Swami, you should come to my village, you should come to West Godavari and you should visit our village. And Swami did promise her that I will do that. And it was in the March of 1965 that Swami made his visit to Kakinada, the East Godavari district. Swami went to Rajahmundry. I have shared with you how that trip of Bhagwan lasted for almost 15 days. From March 21st to April 6th, 1965, Bhagwan was on the road. Swami visited so many towns. More than 9,000 kilometers on road, Bhagwan was in that year. And Swami had this Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha in Kakinada, 3 days. It was there in Rajahmundry. And after almost 12-13 days of being on the road, Swami came in the early morning hours of April 4th, 1965 to Satyavada, her village. And I told you how Swami, even though he had not had any rest and he was traveling all through the night, in the morning, once Kantamagaru welcomed Swami and took him and showed him all the rooms of the house and how he can rest now. Once Kantamagaru left, Swami did not rest, Swami. I told you how first thing he did is went to the kitchen to see the arrangements being done, to give darshan to the cooks because he knows that they have been working for so many hours because preparations had to be done for so many people who are coming with Bhagwan, and there are so many people who had gathered from the neighboring villages. All through the night they were waiting for Bhagwan. They have to be fed, they have to be looked after, and and these people in the kitchen were busy, non-stop working. And Swami, first thing he did is first to go and bless them, and they were in tears. And of course, after that, Bhagwan hardly rested. He came out and gave darshan. After breakfast, again he went out and gave darshan. And now he was on a slab on the roof of a house. He took a ladder and got on top of that, and a makeshift high rise, makeshift balcony, so to speak, Bhagwan created to give darshan to everyone. And even though it was so hot and it was noontime, and especially in the month of March, April, it is extremely hot in Andhra Pradesh. But Bhagwan was sitting there for half an hour, allowing people to bask in the power of his presence. And I shared with you how when it was time for Bhagwan's food, just like it happened during breakfast time, Swami wanted that Kantamagaru should be serving him. And Kantamagaru was feeling very bad that she didn't have opportunity to do any cooking for Swami because she was looking after all the arrangements. She had to arrange for police to look after crowd control. There were no sevadals then. She had to arrange for generator. There was no good power supply there. She had to make arrangements for accommodation of all the people who were traveling with Swami. She had to make arrangements for all the people who had come from neighboring villages about their food. She had to make arrangements so that the public meeting is held without any problem. She had to make arrangements for Bhagwan's rest and comfort. She had to make arrangements to what to give to all the people who have come. So many things she had to do, and she was just one single lady. There were, of course, a few people helping her. Swami had told Nidamurthy Satyam Garu and Achyutaramaya Garu to help her. They were, of course, they had to help, but now that she was the host, she was running around making all these preparations, and in this midst of all this, she never had the time to do any cooking for Swami. And when it was lunchtime and Swami wanted her to serve him, and she was feeling bad that she didn't have the time to cook anything for Bhagwan. Swami called her near and Swami started praising her and Swami started saying, "You have made such beautiful arrangements. You have made such lovely facilitation for everyone." And she was telling Swami, "I couldn't make anything for you, Swami." Swami was very moved and Swami said, "Tell me what you want." And I've shared with you in the previous episode how she just did not say anything. Swami insisted, "No, no, tell me what you want." Again, she was tongue-tied because she didn't know what to ask Swami. Swami had filled her life, filled her day with so much joy. Her dream had been fulfilled. In fact, later on, Swami said, "You must write this day in letters of gold in your life because never again probably the village will see this much crowd." Because people had come from all over. Kakinada, Rajahmundry, they were standing on top of houses, on top of trees, on top of bridges, wherever, whatever, just to have a glimpse of Bhagwan. And Swami is asking her, "Tell me what you want," at the lunch table, and she's telling, "I don't know, Swami." And finally, when Swami was persistent, she said, "Swami, you have given me everything. Profusely you have given me. I'm not lacking anything. All I need, if you are asking me, all I can seek is your grace to be always on me, Swami. That's all I want." And Swami just smiled and said, "Yes, yes, yes." And then Swami started looking at her house and Swami looked at that adjacent house which was attached to her house and Swami said, "Where are the people of that house?" And she said, "Swami, they belong to my relatives. They are not here now. They are traveling." And Swami said, "No, you must buy that house." He said, "No, Swami, that belongs to my brother-in-law. It belonged to her husband's brother's family. And they were residing in another village." Swami said, "No, they will sell this house. You buy it." And she says, "No, Swami, but why do I need? Because I have only one son. Why do I need another house?" Swami said, "You have one son, but what can you say about how many children will he have? You don't know anything. You just take this house." And because it was Bhagwan's command, so she agreed to buy that house. And Swami said, "Once you buy the house, you make all the necessary changes that needs to be done, and then I will come again." And because it was Bhagwan's command that she must buy the house, so that was in her mind. And she had discussed this with her mother, and mother also was for it. And as I had told you before, she would come to Prashanti every 2-3 months. Every festival she was in Prashantali, and she, to serve in the canteen, to just enjoy in the presence of Bhagwan, be it Dasara, be it Gokulashtami, be it birthday, be it Pongal. Every 2 months she would be in Prashanti. And on one occasion after this, when she was in Prashanti, this probably happened 3 months after Bhagwan's visit to her place. Suddenly, one day, Swami sent word for her through Suraya. Suraya at that time was the person in charge of the South Indian canteen. And he came and told Kantamagaru that Swami is asking for you. And when Kantamagaru went to Swami's presence, Swami said, "You leave for your hometown immediately." And Kantamagaru said, "Swami, I can leave, but the thing is I don't have my clothes because I have given my clothes to the dhobi, to the washman. It will take one day, you know. I just cannot, suddenly I cannot leave." Swami said, "Oh, okay, whatever. You know, whatever is convenient." Swami left it at that. And she, next day, she left. And by the time she reached home, she had no idea what was going on in the village. What had happened was her brother-in-law had come, the one who had that adjacent house, and they wanted to sell that house. And Kantamagaru's mother was waiting for her because they did not have much time. They wanted to finish the work of selling and leave. And they could not wait for Kantamagaru. There was no these are not times when you had cell phones, and even a normal phone, landline phone, was so difficult. So there was no way that Kantamma Garu's mom could inform her to come. Swami told her, but she went one day later, and in fact, by the time she reached, another party had come, another person who wanted to buy that house, and they were very keen. And since this brother-in-law wanted to finish that job and leave, he could not wait for Kantamma Garu to come, and he didn't know that she's coming. So there was no way to communicate. This is 1960s. So he went ahead and, you know, signed that agreement. The day Kantamma Garu reached her home, and she sent her son to go to the brother-in-law's place, he told him to run and tell them that, you know, she has come and she would want to buy the house. But by the time, it was too late, because the brother-in-law had already signed. Just then they had finished signing the document, and now the house was not with her. It cannot come to her because the agreement was done with that other person. And Kantamma Garu was very sad, and that's when she realized why Swami said leave immediately. And somehow she was late and she missed the chance. And Kantamma Garu's mom was feeling very sad that this could not happen, and she was feeling very bad because Swami had told her that you must get this property. And but she just, if only she had obeyed Swami instantly and left one day late, and everything has gone haywire. And now the brother-in-law said, no, I wish to give it to you. I would love to give it to you, but what to do? I just cannot do anything because, you know, there was no time and it had to be done. And these people came, and these people were very insistent that we must finish the job. And so I had to do it. And if there is any way I can, you know, give it to you, I would be happy to do. That's what they said. But now the agreement was done and they didn't know what to do. And Kantamma Garu was crestfallen. Not because she didn't get the property, but it was more because she could not live up to Swami's teachings, Swami's word. Swami had told, Swami's command, Swami had told you buy the house, and she just missed doing that. And 3 months passed by. What had happened during this time is, after this she came to Prashantalayam, and I said there was some other festival and she was in Prashantalayam, and Swami asked her, what happened to that house? And she said, Swami, this is what happened. I just missed it. And the agreement was done by the time I reached there. Swami told her, don't worry. Agreement is in their name, but registration will happen in your name. Swami said, don't worry. Everything is not lost. Nothing is lost. Yes, the agreement is done. Agreement is between them, but don't worry. House will come to you. Registration will happen in your name. So what had happened was, when an agreement happens, as per the rule, within 3 months, registration should happen. If it doesn't happen, then it expires, the agreement. Now, the family who bought that property, it consisted of a father, mother, and 2 sons. And there was some disagreement between the father and the 2 sons about that property, about the division of that new property. And because of that confusion in that family, because of that disagreement there, the family could not come to a conclusion, and they did not complete the registration process in time. And since that did not happen, the agreement expired. And once that agreement expired, Kantamma Garu's brother-in-law now stepped in and said, I'm sorry, the agreement cannot be turned into a registration now because the time has gone. You didn't come back to me. And so now I have the freedom to give it to someone else. And that is how it came to Kantamma. The way Swami plays, the way Swami ensures that what has to come to you, it will come. And he can do anything. He can create any situation. Kantamma Garu was crestfallen, she was sad, she understood her mistake when Bhagwan told her to go, and she had missed going. And but now Swami said, don't worry, even though you could not do what I said, I will still stand by you. I will ensure that what has to come to you will come to you. And And why Bhagwan did all this, we cannot ever say why he did this, but you know, when you think about it, she did so much. She pined for Bhagwan so much that Swami could not but visit her little village. Swami visited all big towns, but Swami visited her little village also. Unknown village, Satyavada in West Godavari district, only because of her prayers. Only because of her deep yearning for Bhagwan. And now once she did something, Swami is like, no, you tell me what you want. I want to give you something. And she says, Swami, I want nothing. I want only your grace. And Swami says, no, you buy this property. And finally, that property does come. And just as Swami had told her, she remodeled that house. And now she combined both the houses. Now it's a very, very spacious house. And she had it for her son, just as Swami had told. In fact, when the son, after retirement, came to live there, and the son made some more changes. In fact, Swami had told her, I will come again. So she had actually completely redone the house, you know, in such a manner that whenever Bhagwan comes again, Swami will be very comfortable. That was her only goal. With that perspective, she redid that house. And Swami had told, no, you may not need it, your son may not need it, but your grandchildren might need it. And in fact, now that house is in the name of her grandchildren, one of the grandsons of Kantamugaru. In fact, both her grandchildren's grandson and granddaughter, they studied in Bhagwan's school. And now that property is in their name. And both of them are so much into Bhagwan and so much into selfless service, so much into giving their lives to uplift the poor and needy. That's how their lives are, very dedicated to Bhagwan. Perhaps Bhagwan knew all that, and these are people who will never think about themselves. I have to make arrangements for them. I will have to ensure that they are well provided for. And that is how Bhagwan takes care of his devotees who seek nothing, who want nothing, but only want to give themselves in his service. Let me share one more beautiful thing that Kantamugaru remembered as she was talking to me. Sometime in the late 60s, as I told you, she became the sarpanch of the village when she was very young, not even 20 years of age. And in 1956, Neelam Sanjeeva Reddy became the first chief minister of Andhra Pradesh. And Neelam Sanjeeva Reddy was a freedom fighter. And he knew Kantamugaru's father very well because they were from the same place, and both of them were together during the freedom struggle, and both of them were in jail. They were jail mates as part of India's independence movement. And in fact, for Neelam Sanjeeva Reddy Garu, Kantamugaru's father was a very dear person because it was in jail that Kantamugaru's father left his mortal coil, and he used to always feel so much for him. So during the visit of Neelam Sanjeeva Reddy Garu once to Kantamugaru's place, to Rajahmundry and those in that area, now that she was the sarpanch of the village, she was introduced to the chief minister by her uncles. And the moment Neelam Sanjeeva Reddy Garu came to know of her and that she is the daughter of his close friend who gave his life for the country, he immediately called her near and held her hand and told, think of me as your father. You're like my daughter to me. Anything you need, anytime, you must come to me. And then he immediately asked, "Government is allotting lands to all freedom fighters. Did you get?" And Kantamma garu was not aware of anything. She said, "No, I have no idea." And immediately he called the collector of that area, and the chief minister told him, "You ask her to choose the land of her choice and do the necessary documents needed for her to get the title deed for that land." These were as per the government schemes. The government wanted to ensure that all the freedom fighters and their families are taken care of after India's independence. And she had lost her husband as well as her father. In fact, they were allotting land to her brother also. And when the collector of that area had called the brother and showed some piece of land, and the brother said, "No, I don't need this. It's whatever I have. It's enough for me." And he declined that offer. And that is how they were. That family is. But now Swami told Kantamma garu, "No, you take that land." So as per the direction of the collector, Kantamma garu went and chose a piece of land which was not being used. It was sort of a wasteland. And so it was more than an acre. And so that land was identified. And the collector said he will do the needful for her to get ownership of that land. And a few months passed and that nothing happened. And eventually, you know, Kantamma garu was so busy traveling to Parthi. Her whole goal was to come to Parthi and, you know, do Swami's work and then do government work for the village as the sarpanch, as the Jilla Parishad person. And so it completely slipped her mind about that land not coming to her. After many months, Swami comes in her dream and Swami says, "Hey, did you get that land? Kantamma, did you get that land?" And that is when Kantamma garu woke up startled, because suddenly Swami is reminding her about that land that she was supposed to get. And that is when she went back to the collector's office, and the collector's office said, no, we have done the needful. We have already sent those papers. Now, because it's that's a very useful piece of land, and, you know, there are a lot of people who see a lot of value in that land. So we need to get clearance from the revenue minister to allot that land to you. And so it has gone to the office of the revenue minister. And then the collector said that apparently there are some people who have raised objection to you getting that land. So basically there are some people who are jealous and they could not stomach that, you know, she's getting such a big piece of land and she's so young and how can she get, you know, people somehow. Some people were just not comfortable in her getting that land so easily. And they had created some obstructions and they had approached the revenue minister, and the revenue minister had given a stay order. And so that's what the collector told, "I have done whatever I can, but now it has gone above me. It's at the revenue minister level and apparently there is a stay order there by the revenue minister, so I don't know what I can do." So Kantamma garu went to Hyderabad, the capital of the state, and there once she met the revenue minister. The moment the revenue minister came to know of her, because the revenue minister himself was a freedom fighter, and when she told why she was here and who she is, the revenue minister said, "Oh my God, I didn't know this. I didn't know that you are his, you are his daughter. We all love your father, and I don't know how that stay order happened, because some people came to me and they made some representation saying, you know, that land cannot be given like that. And so I had to give that stay order, but I had no idea that these people were jealous people. They were simply manufacturing obstacles for you to get that position of that land." And so he immediately called the officers and cleared all the obstructions and all the hurdles that were put by these people who were mean to her, and she finally got that land. In fact, in those days itself, it was It was in lakhs in value, in fact. And later on, she combined, as per Bhagwan's guidance, she combined that land with little land that her mother had, and that whole area, it's more than 2 acres now. And in today's value, it is worth crores of rupees. It's crores and crores of rupees. And that is how Swami ensured. She didn't ask for the land. She didn't ask for the house. All she said is, Swami, I just want your grace. I want to serve you. My life is for you. In the Bible, it is said, seek the kingdom of God and everything else shall be added unto you. And I think that is what is the life of Kantamma Garu. Seek the kingdom of God. And Swami will ensure that you will never have anything that is lacking. And I think anybody who has had that faith, anybody who has had that conviction, anybody who had dedicated themselves to Bhagwan would always feel how you do little for him and he will overwhelm you with how he takes care of even your little needs. What comes to mind is that beautiful bhajan that I have heard, where you lose yourself saying, oh God, oh Lord, how merciful you are. To what extent you go to take care of us? All we have to do is just tell, Lord, I am yours. I am here only to serve. That's all you need.
Bhagwan,
हे करुणा निधे साई राम प्रभुजी साई राम Swami was in Rajahmundry the next year, and as expected, Kantamma Garu would always travel to wherever Bhagwan was, and again her prayers started, Swami, come to Satyavada again. And Swami said, Ayo, I have so many programs planned. And when Kantamma Garu heard that, you know, she was extremely sad and she was crying. And Swami was at that point in time staying in Nedamurthy Satyam Garu's house. And there was one queen who was Bhagwan's devotee and who was also there in Rajahmundry at that point in time. And she was standing, Kantamma Garu was standing along with her. And Swami went towards that side, towards the woman's side. And Swami was speaking to the ladies there. And Swami used to take rest in the first floor of that house. And Kantamma Garu was with this queen on the ground floor of that house. And she was filled with grief and crying because Swami said that he's not sure if he will come to her village. And later on, Swami asked this queen, what happened? Why was Kantamma crying all through the night? Swami was asking her the next day. Did her husband hit her? And Swami was joking like that. And this queen didn't know what to say. And this happened within the earshot of Kantamma Garu. So she, Kantamma Garu, you know, could not stop crying. And she saw that Swami was planning the itinerary with Nedamurthy Satyam Garu, Achyuta Ramaya Garu, you know, about where all he's going to go. And she was standing by the side of that room. She could hear all these conversations. The whole program was planned except for one day. And they were asking, because Satyam Garu and Achyuta Ramaya Garu, they were asking Swami, what is the plan for that day? And Swami told both of them, no, I think I will visit Satyavada because, you know, the poor Kantamma, she's been crying for a while now. And when Kantamma Garu overheard that, she was ecstatic. She couldn't control her joy, but she wanted Swami to tell her directly. That was just, she eavesdropped actually into the conversation that Bhagwan was having with this program, devotees who are planning the program. And in fact, both these elderly devotees, they came to Kantamma Garu and told, don't feel sad, Swami said he will be visiting Satyavada. But Kantamma Garu wanted to listen to this directly from Bhagwan, because you never know about Bhagwan. But all the same, Kantamma Garu, every day she would travel back to her village and she would make these preparations in the house, in the village, because she already had one experience. So she was going all out to ensure that in case that visit happens, she's ready. And so that was her schedule. Wherever Bhagwan was in East West Godavari, she would go during the day and come back and then work towards making these arrangements. Now, as part of the plan, one day Swami was to visit Mandapet. And Swami was to stay in the house of one Mr. Chaudhary, who later on became a member of Legislative Assembly. And this Chaudhary's mother was an ardent devotee of Bhagwan. And Kantamma Garu was very close to Mr. Chaudhary's mother, and often both would have darshan of Bhagwan together. And many times she had visited Parthi, and together they had traveled and all that. So now Chaudhary Garu came to Kantamma Garu and said, see, Swami is coming to Mandapet. Mandapet is about 1 hour from Satyavada. Swami is coming to our place in the evening today. So you please come there, and I suggest that you are there much before time, because you know what to do when Bhagwan comes. You can help mother in making arrangement. In fact, my mother is insisting that you should now itself go to Mandapet. This was in the morning, and he made an arrangement for a car, and even though Kantamma garu was a bit reluctant, she said, "No, I don't have the clothes. I've not made arrangements to travel, stay overnight anywhere." And he said, "No, it doesn't matter. You just go. Mother will take care of everything." And so she finally agreed, and she went there, and she was helping Chaudhary Garu's mother in making arrangements for Bhagwan's visit. And Swami did come to the place in the evening around 4 o'clock, and Mr. Chaudhary had made elaborate arrangements. He was a very rich landlord and great love for Bhagwan. In fact, for meters, for 300, 400 meters, he had made a flower carpet for Bhagwan to walk on before they reach his house. And he had a very spacious house, and he had made really very, very elaborate arrangements for Bhagwan. And Kantamma garu was not sure if she should be there. You know, she was there because Mr. Chaudhary was so insistent, and because it was a private visit, so she was standing somewhere behind in the back veranda. She did not want, you know, to make herself very conspicuous. But Swami saw her, and Swami greeted her very nicely. Swami said, "Oh, you have come here as well. How did you come here?" And she said, "No, Swami, I Mr. Chaudhary, Chaudhary Garu's mother wanted me here, and he sent a car. So that's how I came here." She said, "Oh, you came here by car." And Swami was so happy to see her. And it was like Swami was ecstatic. Swami was very happy that, you know, Kantamma garu was there also. And then Kantamma garu got this duty to guard the place, sort of, when Bhagwan went for rest, because she had made such beautiful arrangements in Satyavada. She was asked to take care that, you know, Swami is not disturbed. And she did her job with so much of love for Bhagwan. In fact, later on, the family members would go to Bhagwan one by one, and with flowers, and Swami would accept the flowers from everyone and then bless these devotees. And in the evening, Bhagwan went for the public meeting. And when Swami returned, it was fairly late in the evening, and Swami started talking to Kantamma garu. Swami asked, "Did you go to the meeting?" She said, "Yes, Swami, I went to the meeting." And there were huge crowd there, Swami. It was so fantastic to see, like, surging crowds, they're hungering for you. Swami said, no, nothing on that. You know what, there are 3-4 film theatres there, and at that time only those theatres closed down, and that's why all these people were there. They have not come for me. Swami was just cracking some jokes and, you know, just making her laugh. And Swami said, no, you know why the people came? These people, this Chaudhary, he went house to house and he gave cards and invited people. That's why all these people have come. They have not just come for me. And you know, Swami was just talking to her in a very lighter way, just filling her heart with joy, filling her heart. Swami was giving her that opportunity, that kind of closeness that she experienced when Swami visited her house. Swami was recreating that experience, that closeness. Swami was giving her a chance to serve. Swami giving a chance to interact with her. Swami seems so happy to see her, and she again tells Swami, "You should come to Satyavada." And Swami said, you know, but that did not happen. But at the end of that day, Kantamma garu was so full of Bhagwan's love, because the way Bhagwan had spoken to her, given her a chance to serve her, given her a chance to be with her, that her heart was full. Swami said, "Now you go back to your village." Then Swami blessed her, and Kantamma garu felt that even though he did not come to Satyavada, because Swami had also told informally to people, "I don't want to go to Satyavada also, because it will be too much of trouble for her. She's just one single lady. It will be very difficult for her." Swami was so compassionate. No, Swami did not want her to go through the trouble of organizing her visit, at the same time give her the bliss of being in his presence, the kind of happiness that she would get if Bhagwan visited her home. Swami planned it in such a manner. That is how beautiful God's plans are. If you have the yearning for Him, if you want only Him, He will go to any extent and create any situation, recreate any situation, realign the planets for you, for your joy. And that's what Kantamma garu experienced. But what is needed is faith. The Chaudhrys, both the Chaudhry, Mr. Chaudhry did not have children. And Swami had told that, I will give. But they were a little impatient about it. And, you know, they had this huge lands and properties, and they were into politics and everything. And now what they did is they adopted, Mrs. Chaudhry adopted the son of her sister as her own son, and they started bringing up that child. And after many years, you know, they went to Bhagwan again and said, Swami, we don't have children. And Swami said, why? You already have taken a child. You already have a child. They did not wait for Bhagwan. Once Swami said, I will give, one has to be patient. One has to have this faith. Faith, Shraddha and Saburi, as faith and patience, as Shirdi Baba says, those are so important. You will be gifted by Lord with things you cannot imagine, but you have to have faith. You have to have that patience. You have to have that determination. You have to have that perseverance. And I think that is what we learn from the lives of all these people like Kantamma garu, who had led such blessed lives and even now continue to relive those memories and fill us with joy and lead a life of inspiration even now, and recall with tears in their eyes about the love of Bhagwan, about what Bhagwan should mean to us in our life and how we can make Swami the center of our lives. It is the lives of such people, as I said, which brighten the power that is Prashanti. We'll continue this series. There are many more amazing stories lined up, and we'll come back to it in the coming episode. Thank you so much for being with me through this beautiful satsang. As always, I dedicate this at His lotus feet with gratitude and love. And if you have any queries, you can write to SSS listener at ssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sairam.